While there is a lot I think I got wrong in the early days of my course creation journey, something I think I did appreciate and something I did get right was understanding that it wasn't about me. So, for example, when it came to deciding on topics for lead magnets or online courses, I just instinctively understood that I had to focus on what people wanted to learn rather than what I wanted to teach. And that was really helpful for me. It saved me a lot of time and trouble, because if you focus on what you want to teach rather than what people want to learn, it doesn't always end well. I'm Janet Murray. I'm a business strategist, copywriter, and online course creator. And over the last decade, I've generated hundreds of thousands of pounds in sales of digital products, including online courses, ebooks, memberships, planners and journals, templates, you name it, I've probably sold it online. I've also helped hundreds of clients create and launch online courses, and I also use my strategic copywriting skills to write courses for other people. I created this podcast to help you navigate the overwhelm around online course creation and sales, because there can be a lot. And I've also learned a lot of things the hard way and made a lot of mistakes, which hopefully by sharing with you in this podcast will avoid you making the same ones and hopefully save you a lot of time and money. So make sure you subscribe in your favourite podcast app so you don't miss an episode. So something I'm really grateful for, and something I know really made a difference in the early part of my online course creation journey, was my experience as a journalist. So I worked for many years as a journalist and editor for national newspapers and magazines. So I was on both sides of the desk, as it were. So as an editor, I was that person that people sent in their press releases and pictures to, and I got to decide whether I wanted to use their story, whether I wanted to interview their CEO or go and visit their organization or project or whatever it happened to be. And I was also pitching. So as a freelance journalist who didn't earn a penny unless I was out there pitching ideas to editors and getting commission to write them, I had to really make sure that I understood not only the publications that I was pitching to, but also the particular sections that I was pitching to. So I had to do a lot of research, and I had to really make sure that I was making it about them. And by them, I mean the publications that I was pitching to. I had to have a good understanding of like what kind of things they usually covered, what they, you know, they were interested in, what the audience was interested in. And I really had to make sure that I was listening in every single way possible. So that meant that when I went into online course creation, I also have a background as a teacher as well, and that might have helped. And I've been a university lecturer. So again, that understanding that what I want to talk about and what I want to teach may not be the same as the people in front of me. I've also done a lot of speaking as well. So I'm sharing this not to say, oh, look at me, how brilliant I am. What I mean is that I feel I had a bit of a head start in this area. And if you haven't had this kind of experience, if you haven't had to really think about getting something right for a particular audience, and also what happens when you get it wrong, because it can go terribly wrong, it just can be a bit harder to make that adjustment. So I'm just saying, like, be kind to yourself and just be aware that it might take a bit of time for you to adapt and switch. But it's really important that you do, because a common challenge that I have come up against again and again, particularly when I've been trying to help people who want to launch digital products and online courses, is people just wanting to sell things that people don't want to buy. And it can be really, really tricky, because you're there with somebody and they're a real expert and they're really excited about something. And often it's because they've had some kind of personal epiphany that's led them to where they are today. That's quite common with coaches, and they're really excited about it because they've had a particular epiphany and they've gone through a particular journey. They think that everybody else wants the same, and maybe they do, but there often isn't that evidence there that people actually want what it is that they want to teach. And they're just like, well, people just need to know about this. And it can be quite nuanced. So an example that I've already talked about in this podcast a few times is, so when I first started out online, I was teaching people how to get press coverage. That was what my first course was about, not what I wanted to teach online at all, but I knew it was what people would pay me for, because people asked me about it all the time. And a particular bugbear for me is that people would ask me as a journalist, like, right, how do I write a press release? And it was like they thought that the way to get press coverage was just being able to write a great press release. And having been on the other side of the desk as an editor, I knew that, like, people could send me an idea on toilet paper. And if I liked the idea and I wanted to run with the story, I'd pick the phone up and I'd be like, right, like, how do we move this forward? Being able to write a beautiful press release, that's not the same as having a great story. And even I struggled a bit with that at the start because I was like, but people don't, press releases are rubbish. I even wrote a book actually called Your Press Release is Breaking My Heart because I was so like, but people want me to teach them how to write press releases. That's not how you get press coverage. But what I twigged quite early that it's like give people what they want and then or sell people what they want and then give them what they need. So in the end, I would sell press release training. And then when I had people in front of me, I'd be like, right, okay, we're going to do press releases later on. I've got a template. I'm going to walk you through it. However, in order to write a great press release, we need to understand these things first. And I would give them what they actually needed. So this is really, really important that you don't fall into the trap of stubbornly trying to teach people things that they don't want to learn. Sometimes it can be about reframing your offer so that you are, just as that example I gave you there, that you know people need to learn one thing, but they think they need something else. Sell them the something else that they think they need. Then when they're in front of you, you can give them what they actually need. But sticking stubbornly to it and not listening and not being aware of what your audience is saying that they need and what problems they think they need to solve is often one of the quickest routes to putting a course out there that doesn't sell. So again, it's back to this process again. Instead of thinking about the course that you want to teach, start by making a list of the 5 questions. It might be 10 questions you get asked all the time. It might be the things that drive you mad, like press releases. Oh my God. Sometimes you have to find a way to find the joy in that. So for example, my book, Your Press Release is Breaking My Heart. I kind of ended up being, you know, like I wrote this book, which was, you know, really useful. You can still buy it actually. It's got all of the essential stuff that you need. It hasn't changed much. But I kind of had my own spin on it and was a bit tongue-in-cheek. Your press release is breaking my heart. But you have to start with those questions that you get asked all the time, even if you think everyone should know them, even if you think, oh my gosh, that's, you know, so boring. I can't cope with that again. If that's what people want to buy and they're willing to hand their money over to you, then find the joy in that. Don't make life hard for yourself. Another tip I would give you is inch wide, mile deep. So I think I touched on this example earlier on in this podcast season. But let's say, for example, you're a legal expert. You specialize in intellectual property. It's a big area. There's probably lots of things that you could teach on that. You could do a whole course around that. But again, when you're starting out and people don't know you, they need to get to know, like, and trust you. You need to test things out. Just starting, again, with that process I've talked about so many times, doing a one-off class or webinar on something like how to successfully apply for a trademark. Like, start with a small piece. And again, many of the messages that I've shared so far in this podcast series, something where you know you can deliver value, a very clear outcome. You're going to have people coming back to you saying, thank you so much for that training. I followed your advice. I went and applied for my trademark, had no problems. You know, I didn't get turned down, so I didn't waste any money. Then you've got potential testimonials. Again, it comes back to you go off and you create. You could go off and say, oh no, I'm going to create my 10 module, everything you need to know about an intellectual property course, take you 2 years to finish. And then you're getting no feedback on which modules people really want and what they might find most useful. You're not getting any feedback. When you put the course out there, people may not even finish it. You know, so there's just so many advantages to doing it, but I really would advise to go inch wide, mile deep. Take the tiniest topic you possibly can, but one that can deliver a really tangible outcome and get you some great feedback, great results, great testimonials. In the long run, that will do you a lot more favours. So I hope that's given you a better insight on how to choose a topic for your online course. Remember, start small, start with that one-off class or webinar, inch wide, mile deep. All really simple, straightforward advice, but the kind of advice that will allow you to implement and move forward rather than spend months or years thinking about launching a course and generating passive income. It will allow you to actually do it. The most common reason people get stuck with online courses and in some cases never get around to creating one at all is because they're overwhelmed by the tech and they think they can't launch an online course unless they have a fancy membership site or they invest in expensive platforms or tools or other resources. And the truth is you don't need any of this stuff to launch an online course. The problem is there's a whole industry out there and it's designed to tell you that you do need all of this stuff. It just really isn't true. So I've put together a free download with my favourite low or no cost ways to host an online course. It's called 7 Low or No Cost Ways to Host an Online Course. I've included a link in the show notes and you can head over to janetmurray.co.uk/onlinecoursehosting. That's janetmurray.co.uk/onlinecoursehosting to grab your free download. And I've also put a link in the show notes.